they stand for the gospel. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. I don't know what it is, and it's probably just me as I get older. I keep on about getting older. But I find it increasingly that I feel guilty for no apparent reason. You know, you've got that sort of guilt complex. You know, like the feeling that if you're driving down the motorway at 69 miles an hour and you see a traffic camera or something, and you automatically feel guilty and slow down even though you're not breaking the speed limit, don't you? Or I might be looking for something for tea in the supermarket shelves, and I begin to wonder what rebuke there might be on the back. You know, the health warnings contains this and contains that, and it makes me feel guilty about what I'm buying. Or when I check the screen on my phone, you know, my phone goes off and I have a look and I feel guilty instantaneously and wonder what I've done wrong. You know, it might be Heather or something telling me off for something I've forgotten to do. But it doesn't seem a lot different when you look at today's scriptures. And particularly that gospel reading with the disciples asking Jesus, you know, what we must increase our faith. And Jesus said, you know, you don't need much, you only need a little bit. In a way, as I was reading it, I almost felt that I was going to be admonished by Jesus in that piece. When I hear Jesus speak to his disciples in that piece, I can almost imagine a bit of a critical tone in his voice. So I wonder how we would read the words of today's gospel and interpret it to our lives today in 2022. The apostles there, the disciples, say, "Increase our faith." And Jesus, you know, holding up his hand, perhaps his forefinger and his thumb, slightly rebuking them, indicates that they don't even have the tiniest amount of faith. For if they did, they could be throwing trees around into the sea and they would still grow without them even moving a muscle. Faith, the Christian faith, has somehow become a very steady dose of condemnation extracted from stories like that in the Bible, and a lot of times people misinterpret them. It's not surprising then that the disciples ask Jesus for increased faith. And Jesus has just been talking about the demands of discipleship, more exacting than they had all thought. But perhaps Jesus is being quite encouraging in a way. What he's saying to them is, you don't need more faith. Even a little faith is enough. But there might even be more to it than that. In making the request, what are those disciples doing? The disciples realize something very important, that faith is something that we do, that we don't do. We don't grow it or exercise it. Faith, if you think about it, is a gift from God. Faith is the wholehearted trust which the Holy Spirit creates in us through the gospel. Faith isn't something to be admired, because it's actually that gift from the Holy Spirit. Some time ago, I watched a BBC program, it's a couple of years ago now, about Christianity in Britain. Some of you may have seen it or recall it. And it was a project in which a church, a local church like this, and a local charity and the social services collaborated. And it was featured on the television. And one person was employed by the charity that was involved in it. And they were sitting there in a meeting, and it was like a documentary. And suddenly, in the middle of this meeting, she said, "I think I might be a Christian." And the whole room went silent, and it was like a revelation. And it was almost like a revelation to her as well, as though she'd just suddenly realized that she was a Christian. She hadn't worked on it, but it was a gift. That gift of faith had been given to her. So if you think about it, the disciples got that bit right, didn't they? Of course, Jesus's response to the disciples suggests that there was a hidden motive for them wanting more faith. You know, they were saying to Jesus, "Give us more faith." What was their motive? Why were they asking him for more faith? It seems as though perhaps they simply wanted to perform miracles and have that grand power. So Jesus' next comments, apparently, his next comments go right off the point, and we wonder where Jesus is going. Those disciples have asked for more faith. He has said that even a tiny bit would give them supernatural powers. But then he goes on to talk about being worthless slaves. You know, so how did those poor disciples think? They've asked Jesus for faith. He's told them they've got enough. And now he's calling them worthless slaves. Worthless. For some, worthlessness is a feeling from which release is sought, isn't it? Certainly, it's a feeling that the beauty industry recognizes. You know, you think of the adverts on the television. The beauty industry really recognizes that we sometimes feel worthless. And can you remember that slogan in the adverts from the beauty people? "Because you're worth it." Because the beauty industry are recognizing people want to be made to feel worthy. All kinds of therapies like that are available for those that can afford them. But for others, worthlessness is a daily reality. As soon as some people wake up in the morning, they are feeling worthless. Their homes and the streets and the communities are so badly cared for sometimes that everything around them tells them that they are worthless. Sometimes it's for those exploited by their employers, or in their home, or some trapped in modern day slavery. And worthlessness is an inescapable prison for them. And of course, going back to the gospel, there were many in the communities then from which the apostles came from that felt worthless. So how do we interpret that saying of Jesus? Does it really mean that we are to despise ourselves because we are worthless, or to accept the disdain from others? I mean, put it into modern day parlance. How many of you, when your servant comes in from a hard day's work, would offer them a seat in the kitchen and go and put the kettle on for them? Jesus might have put it in that way. But sometimes Jesus speaks of people at a dinner. You know, very often in the parables that we've had over the last couple of months, really, that food and eating is involved. So Jesus speaks of people at dinner who have been scrabbling to get the seats of honor. You know, we had that one a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? He speaks about the importance of what is lost, and finishes up with a divided set between those who mistreat others in this life and those who sit at the gates of the wealthy. So Jesus has been teaching them that the kingdom of God is about putting, if you like, putting the kettle on for other people, serving rather than being served. The faithful follower of Christ doesn't need to look first to themselves, but to the needs of others. Love your neighbor. The kingdom of God comes not when there are many manifestations of power, but when there are manifestations of service. And service isn't just limited to those that are above us that we think we should serve, but it includes those below us too. Service doesn't have to be difficult, but it does need to be thoughtful. And what of that word, that very difficult word that Jesus spoke, worthless? What of that? Perhaps Jesus is telling his followers to regard themselves as the same as others, and all others. After all, think about it. Jesus became a servant, didn't he? Faith is not something that we measure or achieve or grow, but it's something that we live out day by day, living that gift that the Spirit gives us as we seek to serve others and to regard ourselves and others as of equal value. Amen.